Hello, everyone, and welcome back. It's Richard Lannan for Set for Success, where we discuss or help you become successful in your business, career, or life. There is always something happening in this town. I mean, if you look around and someone is trying to improve something. A few months ago, I started to check out architecture in the Exchange District, something I like to do. I'm one of those people that travels to cities, and I like to go to the old parts and walk around and check out what's going on, because I think the old parts of any city, and it tells a lot about what's happening. So that's what I was doing in the Exchange District, down Osborne Village, on Corden Avenue, wherever it might be. So I came across a few boarded up buildings, and they looked like they were about to come down. I mean, lately I think I've been using the word dilapidated, and I don't know why. Maybe it's because my dad used the word a lot or something. So fast forward a few months, and there I was. There was a small brewing company in one of the buildings called A Little Brown Jug, and they create a local beer called 1919. It's actually a bit of a pale ale. The taste is pretty good. Not that I'm endorsing the consumption of alcohol, and definitely not endorsing drinking and driving, so don't do that. But I further looked around and found other older buildings that had been somewhat converted. And I discovered there were some old ones out there that were converted now into technology companies. So if you've been listening to the news, you'll also know that Red River in that area is planning to expand the campus downtown in the Exchange District even further. So I started thinking about that. I mean, this is all some really cool stuff. Business for people, for our overall economy. That got me thinking about who connects who. Like, how does all this stuff come about? I mean, business leaders must be talking to business leaders, and professionals must be talking to professionals, and they must be connecting somewhere, and they've got to be using technology, and somehow it all connects. So if you think about it, like, where does this all start from? So if you want to know a little bit more, you got to start talking to some of the people that maybe are about that. So I decided to contact one of my friends, one of my business friends, Glenn Bueller, the chat business. And Glenn's with several organizations, but he's been on the show before. Glenn, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Richard. Great to be here.
I'm glad to have you here. I mean, I'm going to start calling you CEO extraordinaire. Is that okay? Can I make you that? Can I give you that title?
You can. I don't know if I can accept it, but thank you.
You know, you should stay humble to it, right? That's the thing. Glenn, I always like to start off with my guests connecting with the audience. I mean, anybody who listens to the show, they know I always ask, you know, tell me a little bit about yourself. Tell our listeners about who Glenn is.
Sure. Well, I've been an entrepreneur for about half my life now, about 15 years, give or take. And I'm just absolutely passionate about helping people connect and using technology and social events and all sorts of things to help people derive new value. So as you mentioned, I'm in a number of different businesses, whether that be technology or I have a company that does networking events and a newly expanded business, Exotic Drivers Club. So I'm in the car business now, too.
So you've made a few changes.
Yeah.
Before we talk about that, tell us a little bit about your connection to Manitoba.
Well, I'm a Manitoba boy. I grew up in rural Manitoba, arrived in Winnipeg here, I guess, end of 2005. So you know, close
12
to
years.
12 years now. And I've just loved the city. When you grow up in a small town, Winnipeg's the big city. It's a big, scary place.
And especially in Manitoba.
Oh, yeah. Stoplights, what are those, right?
Crosswalks, people driving? What is this?
That's right. But no, it's been great to be here. And I just love the province and the city of Winnipeg.
Now, when you started off your career, so since we've mentioned technology, I believe you actually started your career in the technology field. Is that correct?
That's right. I actually started my first business in the small town I grew up in the technology industry. And I would build computers and fix computers, set up networks, websites, software, all of those sorts of things. It was a ton of fun and helped that I was pretty much the only guy in town doing a lot of that stuff.
And I think that's where so we started. Sorry, I was having this moment, and the listeners can't see us. We're looking at each other as if we're having coffee together, and I'm like, oh yeah, that's your background. I remember now. Like, yeah, but you know, everybody else doesn't sort of know. Yeah, I had that moment, right? You know, when you see that in somebody's face.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, you're involved in so many different things. So just for the fun of it, let's do a list.
Okay,
so mm-hmm. You are CEO of
Oxygen Technical Services. We're an IT company here in town with offices in Winnipeg and Saskatoon. The 10 group of companies, which includes Today's Executive Network, a large executive networking organization, Trade Bank Winnipeg, an organized trade exchange business, Next Winnipeg, which is a networking organization for millennials. Exotic Drivers Club, Fractional Ownership Car Club. We're the only guys in town doing that. Hopefully we can talk about that a little bit later as well. And I think that's kind of the list, about Richard.
It. I'm already tired writing all that down. I think I got my penmanship is starting to fail. Mm-hmm. That's absolutely amazing. Now, Liz, the reason why I bring this up because, and I mean this respectfully, you're a young man.
Mm-hmm.
How old are you?
Well, I just turned 31.
Yeah, so you're a young guy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a lot to achieve in a very time. I know your last name's Bueller. Are you related to the Bueller family at all?
Well, I don't believe, directly related. I think John Bueller is my grandfather's second cousin, I believe, but a little bit far down the family tree for me to associate myself too closely with the family. But I'm always honored to be asked that. They've done a phenomenal job in this city and in this province.
You know what? I agree 100%. I've had the opportunity myself to have services and family members in some of the hospital buildings that they've donated and where their names are and stuff, and even educationally too. So fantastic, really appreciate that as a Winnipegger.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why I guess I asked the question is because, you're a self-made guy. Like, you are an entrepreneur who basically at a very young age started the first business and got it off the ground, but then worked on several different businesses.
Yeah, I guess, you just you keep going until you find something that works. And unfortunately or unfortunately, a lot of these little ventures have worked out for me.
Yeah, have worked out quite well for you.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things I want to talk about is just around being an entrepreneur. So let's sort of start there. Sometimes I ask, what business you're in. Well, we've already established several,
mm-hmm.
right? But what do you think are some of the challenges? Let's start in the higher macro level. That you see within our own economy right now for, I guess, the city of Winnipeg or Manitoba?
That's a great question, actually. I think there's several. There's several different shifts that are happening. First and foremost, I think that cash is a little tight right now overall. I think that companies are kind of struggling with some of the liquidity, which is driving all sorts of different behaviors. I mean, I'm seeing it in my technology business where leasing, the request to lease equipment is at an all-time high.
Okay.
And that's one of the insights that drew me to my car club concept. But I think another big thing that we're seeing is the explosion of the startup community here in Winnipeg.
That is quite amazing itself.
Mm-hmm.
So guess what? We got to end on a cliffhanger because we got to go for a short break. So this is Richard Land for Set for Success, and we're going to talk to Glenn when we return about what the challenges are in our economy that he sees and also what the startup explosion is. This is Richard Land for Set for Success. We will be right back. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. I'm hanging out with Glenn Bueller. Glenn, CEO extraordinaire. I'm going to have everybody who knows you bugging you now. It's going to be like this unbelievable thing. You're really good, man. I can see you smile and everything. Just before the break, we were talking a little bit about the challenges in our economy right now, or what's happening. And you mentioned that you mentioned two things. One about the startup community. So I want to just put that on hold for a second. And you talk about cash tightness, right? And you made a reference to leasing going up. So and the first thing I thought was, well, if cash is tight, why are people leasing more? Why are lease rates going up? Could you explain that a little bit?
Yeah, I think just in general, there's kind of an aversion to owning some of these capital assets
okay.
in business.
Yeah, so rather than own, rent.
Yeah, exactly. I think that allows companies to be a lot more nimble. I think that it frees up cash for other things that are going to happen. But also, when we see cuts at the government level, and by no means am I trying to comment politically, I think that balanced budget's a good idea.
Yeah, cuts anywhere.
Cuts
right?
anywhere.
Any company
cuts
that
anywhere.
Makes cuts, there's
exactly.
ramifications.
And so I think as things are tightened up everywhere, then everybody's business kind of suffers, and we're all looking for ways to not only boost the bottom line, but also find some new revenue. So leasing has, I think, created a really good opportunity for that. And in my own businesses, I'm seeing a lot of people looking at, installment plans, leases, those sorts of things, way more than I ever have before.
That's interesting you would see that, because I've worked globally, and I've worked in a lot of different cities and different industries. And so one of the industries or cities I worked in was Calgary, Alberta, and with the oil and gas companies, and they outsource all sorts of stuff, and they mm-hmm. lease all their equipment, right? So it's something that's really not new. Is it you seeing it just something that's new in our business environment, that they're just sort of taking on this aspect of business to sort of not own the technology, but to rather...
Yeah, I think so. Like, Winnipeg has always been, I think, a fairly conservative market.
I would agree.
And, you know, again, there's that aversion to debt usually. But I think that people are realizing, hey, you know, money's cheap right now. So let's, you know, let's either expand or let's get some relief in terms of, you know, the balance sheet. Yeah, I think it's just something that...
Yeah, rather than tying up your capital assets, you're basically leasing out and technology. In this case, we're talking about technology. Laptops, computers, that kind of stuff, correct?
That's right. Right. Even so, software, all of those sorts of things. So I think maybe Winnipeg is, I'm not going to say getting with the times, but I think just realizing that there's more opportunity.
Well,
it's
interesting you would say software, because even I've, as a small business owner, I've had to contend with this too, because there was a time when you go buy your software,
mm-hmm.
but now pretty much almost every application we use within the company is an annual fee.
That's right. Some sort of subscription.
Subscription.
And I think that is really a huge trend that's happening, again, not just in software, but in everything. Everybody's trying to do something as a service. You know, I don't pay for my branded mats in my office, buy them and then just get them cleaned. Now I just pay a monthly fee and the mats show up. And if they break, then I just get a new one.
Yeah.
And I think, again, that's kind of a huge trend that people are going toward where, again, ownership is not as coveted as it used to be in terms of gear and assets and all sorts of things like that. And that's creating a lot of unique opportunities for businesses to kind of pivot their business model toward this kind of recurring revenue model.
Yeah, it's almost like asking the question, what business are you in?
Mm-hmm.
And then if you're, you remember that old question? We still ask it too, right? So, and then answering the question and then getting clear on that. And then anything that's not your business that you're in, well, you outsource or you just, you're not in that piece, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember years ago, back in the late 90s, I got to date myself a little bit. I'm a bit older. We would have that dialogue and that's when I saw, you know, companies that owned buildings, for example, they'd sell the building
mm-hmm.
and they'd lease it back, you know, mm-hmm. rather than having the money tied up in the capital asset. You know, so I think that's the kind of stuff you're talking about there.
That's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, one of the things that you mentioned is startups,
mm-hmm.
like saying that like startups are like happening.
Yeah.
So explain.
Well, you know, I've been, I try to keep my finger on the pulse of a lot of these things because of the different businesses I'm in.
Well, yeah.
And I think that there's two major things driving the whole startup thing. I think part of it is generational. I think millennials want the flexibility and the freedoms and the outlet for their creativity that perhaps working in a traditional corporate environment doesn't necessarily provide. And the other one, I think, is that this is a trend that I think we're going to see over the next 10 years, 15 years. And in fact, I'm betting a lot of my business strategy on it. So I hope it comes through. But
thank you for admitting that. So anyway, go ahead. So
you never know,
needs to become
right?
true, right? Well, I know. You never know what's going to happen.
You never know.
Yeah.
So, you know, one of the big trends I'm betting a lot on is that as companies, big companies, Fortune 500, Fortune 1000, and scaling down, look to continue to grow and find new fields that, you know, new worlds that they can conquer, I think that they're going to start to buy out a lot of the mid-sized companies.
Okay, so, go ahead.
And I think that may not affect Winnipeg as much because we're not necessarily a head office town anymore. I think we're getting there, and the fine folks at, yes, Winnipeg are really recruiting a lot of great companies here. However, I think that as both consumers and employees kind of get tired of the bureaucracy of working with these faceless organizations, the desire for more of a boutique experience, both for employment and for acquiring goods and services, kind of drives that mentality of, you know, why would I buy my razors from Gillette when I can go to Dollar Shave Club? Right? And it's
an excellent product. Sorry, I just endorsed them, didn't I? I was given to me as a Christmas gift.
There you go.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, something like that 20 years ago, who would have thought that Gillette would lose market share to somebody that nobody had heard of? But nowadays, the internet and technology itself has really given small companies the same platform to compete with big companies. And consumers now have more choice than ever before. And I think a lot of them are gravitating toward the smaller, more personable experiences. And I think that's why we're seeing such a great amount of startups. So I've really tried to build my businesses toward providing support and services toward these new companies.
These new companies. Guess what we need to do, Glenn? We got to take a short break. But when we come back, I think we're going to talk a bit about what's happening in some of these other sectors. This is Richard Lannan for Set for Success. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. It's Richard Lannan here hanging out with Glenn Buehler. Glenn, I've been joking around with you about your title, but I'll just say that you're a heck of an entrepreneur. So now your friends can all come to you and say, hey, Glenn, I understand you're a heck of an entrepreneur. You don't mind me bugging you, do you?
I appreciate the endorsement, Richard. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome. You'll never come on my show again after this. It'll be like, oh, my gosh. We were talking a bit about startups, and actually what we were talking about was long-term strategy. Let's sort of go back there.
Sure.
Because you mentioned, you know, my 10 to 15 year plan, and that's amazing that you actually have a 10 to 15 year plan, because when I'm out talking to business leaders, they'll often say that they can't see past 3 to 5 years. So where did this sort of thinking come from where you could look past the sort of 10 to 15 years? Like, what are you basing that on?
Oh boy. Well, you're right. I mean, to have a detailed action plan outside of 3 years, I think is very difficult. But I think that as entrepreneurs, we need to try to see the future so we can be the future. And growing up in the technology business, you know, one of the guys I looked up to was Bill Gates.
Oh, sure.
And I mean, why not? Richest man in the world, built a phenomenal product, gives us a lot of the tools that we use today. I think he's really impacted the world in a variety of different ways, including charitable. So when I look at Bill Gates, and I mean, I was doing book reports in middle school and high school on Bill Gates biographies and so on. I was just really, really impressed with him. And I'm sure they were a pleasure for my teachers to read in hindsight. But anyway, but you know, I think his goal in the late 70s was a computer on every desk.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
that wasn't a 3 year.
That was, you know, absolutely. The vision, right? Sorry, go ahead.
Well, and that wasn't a 3 year plan. That wasn't a 5 year plan. That took really, you know, 20 years plus to actually capitalize on. And, you know, now the computer is no longer on the desk. It's in the pocket.
It's everywhere.
It's everywhere.
It's in your car. It's in your pocket.
That's right.
Know, it's in your purse if you carry a purse. And at home, you know, you have 3 or 4 or 5 or 6.
Yeah. And it's in the fridge and it's in the TV and it's in everywhere, right?
Yeah.
And so I think that that vision that he had, that bold proclamation to say, I, as the CEO and owner of Microsoft, I'm going to put a computer on every desk. You know, that's a life's work, basically. And so, you know, what's my big vision? What's my big bet that I will either, you know, win with or be mocked by? But that's okay. I mean, we need to kind of stake our claim on the world, I think. And for me, I'm really trying to build, again, services and products that will help this burgeoning community of startups thinking and knowing that in the next, you know, 10 to 15 years, employment will completely change. The way we procure things will completely change. You know, we talk about the gig economy, you know, where people aren't getting gainful employment now. They're just, you know, they're driving Uber, they're doing this, they're doing that. And I can tell you, you know, a number of people whose businesses have been asked to invest in or whatever, where they're focusing on creating platforms for this gig economy. And, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, what's Uber? Now, you know, I get a couple pitches a month on, hey, we're the Uber of this, we're the Airbnb of that, we're the, you know, and so on and so forth. And these are actually good ideas.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, they're just sort of leveraging something that was done by somebody else to, you know, to get the idea across.
That's right.
It's interesting you would say gig economy. I mm-hmm. want to go back to this because
sure.
I've spent 30 years in the consulting industry.
Mm-hmm.
So my life has been in the gig economy.
Sure.
Right? Mm-hmm. So to me, it's nothing new, but I can see somebody who's had a traditional position, 9 to 5 and everything, mm-hmm. or who's looking for that would be terrifying to them. You know?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you give up the vacation pay and the benefits and the tenure awards and the desk that you go to every day and the plant that you water and all those sorts of things, routine.
All that stuff is gone. And you're now responsible for it.
That's right.
You have to become really savvy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so, again, I think of all these people who now no longer have a support system. You know, the work from home thing, if I can call it that, I think is going huge. I mean, I get asked to invest in things all the time, as I mentioned, and, you know, a big one has been commercial real estate. I'm not investing in commercial real estate because in you know, the next few years, maybe it's 15, 20 years, people aren't going to want to go to the office. Offices won't necessarily be the same as they are today. Again,
I don't want to go to one. And actually, you know, the funny thing is you would say this, and I'm going to share this because I'm on another part of the generation, but I get it, is that you don't have to go to an office.
Right.
You don't need one, you know. You talk about support systems, Fiverr, Upworks, you know. I get people sometimes to say to me, like, well, Richard, you know, you work by yourself. No, I don't. I have a whole team, right? They just happen to be from all around the world. Mm-hmm. And I'm sharing this because I'm just as passionate as you are about the whole idea of the gig economy.
Right.
You know, and I think the sooner that a lot of business leaders embrace the idea, then they can get on with it.
Right. And so again, with my businesses, I'm looking at, okay, what isn't being replicated right now? And I think that a few things that my businesses, Today's Executive Network and Next particularly, are solving is they're providing some of those things that Fiverr or Upworks or any of those folks aren't providing, which is the motivation.
Yeah.
The sense of community.
Yeah.
You know, those sorts of things, because being an entrepreneur is lonely at the best of times.
Yeah. Sometimes being a professional working for a company is lonely at the best
of times.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So, you know, if we can create a community where people can say, yeah, I'm going through those challenges too, or yeah, I need to connect with other people so I know what's normal or what's not normal and so on. That's really, again, some of the services that we've been building toward. But also helping people find the opportunities, because again, if there's you know, 1,000 graphic designers on a platform, how does one stand out?
Yeah,
you know, if it's all of a sudden gone from business being personal, which I believe is where Winnipeg is today, to more of a gig economy where it's no longer personal, it's still about relationship. But if you're just another entry on a website, how do you actually set yourself forward, right? And win the business.
You have to differentiate yourself in the marketplace. That still applies.
Still applies. So again, my businesses in the 10 group of companies really help people differentiate themselves and build those relationships, find the work, find the resources that they need, and that kind of thing. So again, I put a big bet on it. It's maybe not a Bill Gates, you know, scale vision, but I think that in 15 years, there are going to be thousands of customers of mine who say, 10, help me build my business.
10, help. And you mentioned about, I think it was 10X. Do I have that right? No. How do you pronounce it?
Our next business.
Your next business. Sorry, 10X. You should have called it 10X, your next business, but go ahead.
It's funny you mentioned that, Richard. Actually, when we were in the process of acquiring a company called Trade Bank, and later a Canadian barter system, that all happened within the last 6 to 7 months or so. But we were kind of codenaming what we did was 10X, so we could start to do some market research and call it something without actually giving up the names of the companies we were buying.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So, 10X is very close to my heart because we lived that for about 4 or 5 months before we even started making some of these acquisitions.
Yeah.
So it's been part of our vocabulary for a while. So maybe you were just in a secret meeting that we had. I don't know.
I don't know. Well, no, I got flies on the wall everywhere.
There we go.
No, I don't. I just want to say that to everyone. Make sure. I do want to talk about your next business. I think I find it fascinating. But I did want to say, like, when you first said Next, do you remember the computer Next?
I do, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, so absolutely.
That was the first vision I had. Now I'm really dating myself.
I'm just hoping our fate is a little bit better than Steve Jobs' failed personal computer.
And then going back to Apple and stuff. But it does make for fascinating start. The idea of serving the startup community, I think there is a very strong, thriving startup community happening. And the one thing I would be interesting to know more of is there's a certain generation that's more involved than another generation. But we got to take a short break. And when we come back, we'll talk a bit more about your stuff and what's happening in the economy and your experiences. This is Rich Land for Set for Success. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. I'm hanging out with Glenn Buehler. Glenn Buehler is the CEO of several organizations, but I'm going to basically say the 10 group of companies. Is that a good way to put it, Glenn?
Perfect.
Perfect way to put it. Just before the break, we were talking about the shift in the gig economy, and you got me all into it, right? Because I understand the gig economy. I understand hiring VAs, like virtual assistants, for example, to do things for you, and I understand the importance of groups and everything. It sounded to me like you're really preparing for that shift for people to go from that, so that they still provide that working versus that business type of experience. Is that correct?
That's right. Yeah, we're I'm really placing a lot of bets on the fact that, you know, it's companies will be getting smaller, not bigger, because as companies consolidate, they create opportunities for new companies to form and fill in the gaps in terms of customer service and product offering that some of the bigger companies aren't able to pivot to as quickly as need be.
Okay, so that's fair enough. Well, what do you think is driving all of this?
Well, I think I work with a lot of entrepreneurs. I've probably got upwards of 2,500 customers here in Manitoba. And, you know, a lot of entrepreneurs love the fact that they can go into work wearing what they want, arriving when they want, and doing what they want.
And leaving when they want. Yeah. It's funny, you know, I was out chatting with a CEO of another organization, and they asked me, what it is I love, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, what does I love about business or other businesses? I said, I love t-shirt and blue jean businesses. And it's true. It's true. I mean, and I think most people, now I use that as an example. I mean, mm-hmm. It could be business casual or whatever is required, right? But I think most people would like to prefer just to be themselves, right? And if that's t-shirt and blue jeans, the way they go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no point on that one.
No, I agree with you 100%. I mean, I think the world is becoming more personalized. People want to get personalized service. They want to, you know, display their personality. That's why YouTube is so important, because, you know, why do people want to just consume content anymore? They want to be the content. And so why would they go from that type of shift where they can make their opinions known on social media, but then fall into line, you know, Monday to Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Yeah, and do it.
It
just doesn't fit.
It doesn't fit.
It's,
it doesn't
it's
work.
It's incongruent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think that the millennial workforce will represent, I don't know the exact number, but a significant part of our workforce over the next...
I'm glad you said that, because I would have asked.
I know. Okay. You would have called my bluff here if I had made up a number. But like, honestly, I believe that in the next, you know, 15 years, let's say, millennials will make up a huge part of the workforce, and they're not going to want to work even how when I got into the workforce, what work was like. And so I think as companies try to change and attract these type of individuals, there's, you know, we're still creating that disconnect where millennials and just people in general want to do their own thing and have that flexibility.
You know what? I agree with you. And when we're talking about 10, 15 years from now, millennials are 30, you know, mm-hmm. like we're, you know, and I see where I have a millennium and millennial, and I have a Gen Y. Is that the right one? I'm an Xer. So, and the other one, yeah. So my oldest, and it's interesting to see how different they are and how they approach things. Mm-hmm. You know, both grew up with technology, but one was just sort of born with it and the one adapted to it. And
Sure. They're
totally both different in terms of their approach to things. Listen, you're doing some other cool stuff out there,
mm-hmm.
you know, and during the break, I think I talked myself into a car ride. So Glenn, you got to tell me and tell our listeners about the Exotic Drivers Club. Do I have the name right?
You do, yes.
Yeah, okay. Because I'm like right away going, really? Like, this sounds really cool.
It is pretty neat. Myself and my business partner, Trevor Knott of Knott Auto Corp, we've really created the first fractional ownership exotic car club here in Winnipeg. So basically what that means is we're like a timeshare for exotic cars. Because here's the reality. I happen to have a couple neighbors on my street who have some exotic cars, and they never drive them, ever. You know, we rarely see them drive the cars, and which is too bad. These cars are completely impractical. They're supposed to be driven, and if they're just sitting there as art, then that's a pretty expensive piece of art.
Depreciating piece of art. I don't know exotic cars, how they depreciate, but regular cars depreciate quite a bit.
Yeah, so. It depends on the car for sure. So basically my concept was, and I've always been a car nut. So in the past couple of years, I've actually been able to acquire some of these types of cars for myself. And I just love the drive, and everybody loves to drive these things or aspires to drive them. So the simple premise was Trevor and myself, we went out and we bought a wide variety of cars, Lamborghini, Ferrari, Maserati, Tesla, Nissan GTR. We have a Porsche somewhere too. We have I don't know, just all sorts of things.
We just went out and bought these things. Yeah, okay.
Well, sure. It was a little more difficult than that.
Yeah.
But, you know, we've got a fairly significant fleet of vehicles in terms of not only the value, but also the aspirational value of them. And basically for a small fee of $600 to $1,500 per month, members get to drive our cars without the costs of traditional ownership. So, for example, Richard, let's say, you know, it's Father's Day coming up in a bit. You've got, you know, you've always wanted to drive a Ferrari. Well,
yeah.
Why not, right? So, you know, not only do we do the membership, but also some rentals. But in something like this, you literally book out the Ferrari, and I take care of the tires, the cleaning, the maintenance, the storage, the insurance, all those sorts of things. Basically, gas and speeding tickets are your responsibility for the day.
Yeah.
So for $600, you can't, you know, for $600 a month, for example, you can't access these cars otherwise.
No, it'd be way beyond your capabilities.
Oh, yeah.
And like, that, yeah.
For example, do you know what a lease is on our cheapest car, which is our Nissan GTR?
I have no idea.
I'm guessing you'd probably be running around $1,800 to $2,000 a month plus insurance.
Yeah, my wife would be very happy that I would be paying for that.
No
yeah.
kidding, right?
Yeah, put it through your business.
And if you're only driving it 20 days a year.
Or not even.
That's a very expensive per day driving experience. Yeah. And then the cleaning, the maintenance and all that. So again, we just make that easier. And again, when I talk about trying to see where people's spending habits are going to be and their business habits are going to be, I think that the whole sharing economy is going to be huge. You know, you look at Uber and car shares and all of those sorts of things. Mine's just a big car share, you know, a car co-op just with, you know, $100,000,
$200,000 cars. Yeah. It's the bigger vehicles. It's funny, you know, I was just thinking that could apply to motorcycles. It could apply to bicycles.
Absolutely.
I know you can go and rent bicycles, but I mean, if you're a big bicycle fanatic,
mm-hmm.
wouldn't you want to try one of the really upper end bikes, you know,
or
things like, there's lots of places mm-hmm. you could do that. I know I'm using a simple example there, I guess, but it sounds to me like that could apply to a lot of things.
For sure. You know, and at the end of the day, this is the funnest business I have, I think, because I really get to see people's dreams come true. The first time I dropped off our Lamborghini, I think the gentleman was holding back tears.
Really? He was just so excited. He's so excited, right?
Well, and he said, you know, I never thought I'd get to see one of these, let alone ride in one.
Oh, wow.
And here I am for the next 3 days going to drive it wherever I want.
I want to. Hope the weather is nice.
That's right.
You almost sound like Disney. Yeah. Somebody wants to get in touch with you. How would they go about doing that?
You know, I think the easiest way, because we have so many different businesses, is to just Google Today's Executive Network. Today's Executive Network, and they'll find our website and all of our related companies. It's probably the easiest thing, or look us up on any social media platform.
Go from there. Mm-hmm. What a show we've been having. Glenn, it's always a treat to have you on, because every time I have you on the show, there's something new, right? It's never the same old business, so I really have the compliment on that. Final thought. Do you have a final thought for our listeners?
Well, I think what I've been challenged by not only my peers, but also my customers and employees lately, is just to, you know, develop a bold vision and go for it. You might fail, but, you know, it's worth it in the end.
At least you got a bold vision.
That's right.
And vision of success. This is Richard Lennon for Set for Success, but you know that already. Glenn, thank you for being on the show. It's always a pleasure.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
Listeners, obviously, I'm so grateful for when you tune in and listen to this show. I've had a lot of fun today with Glenn Buehler. Of course, if you have a thought, an idea, maybe a guest you'd like to have in the future, send me an email at richard@setforsuccess.ca. And remember, do your best, invest in the success of others, and make your journey count.